The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least of among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for this child. When you have found him, bring me word, and that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its horizon preceded them, until they came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is today the Feast of the Epiphany. We are still in Christmas, the Christmas season. And the Christmas season continues until tomorrow, when it ends with the baptism of the Lord. And we know this word Epiphany well outside of the church, when perhaps a group of individuals are trying to fix a problem. Trying to find a solution. Let's say a group of engineers that are trying to fix some complex problem, some difficult situation, and they're racking their brains and spending time reviewing the information. And they meet, and they dismiss, and they meet again, trying to find a solution to the problem. And all of a sudden, one individual, out of the blue, states, "I have an epiphany. I've had an epiphany. This problem is not that complex." This is, and he proceeds to present a solution to the problem that for days they were trying to solve. An epiphany. It is a solution. It is a concept that comes out of left field when so much energy has been tried to fix a problem, and then the solution is simply so simple. It's an intuitive grasp of reality through a simple concept and striking at the same time. And that, my brothers and sisters, dear people of God, is what the Epiphany is for us. Brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters of Mary, and children of a Heavenly Father, a God that made us, made the world, and wants us to share His very life. It is today that Jesus, God made man. It is today that God made man in Jesus Christ, presents himself, allows himself to be recognized as the Son of God. When Mary and Joseph made it to Bethlehem, when there was no room at the inn, nobody knew who they were. Hence, they were ignored, they were shut out, and they had to be born somewhere else, in a very mean and meager way, with animals in a stable. So they did not know who Jesus was. In fact, they did not know even Jesus for 30 years as Jesus worked with Joseph as a carpenter.
and served Mary and learned scripture and learned Hebrew law through his parents. And what happens when Jesus starts his ministry? What do they say? Who are you? Who is this? Can anything good come from Galilee? Imagine. Can anything good come from there? So they didn't know who he was. But today in the Epiphany, and in two other traditional epiphanies that the church celebrates, is where God that has existed from that time on, outside of time. We exist in time. Hence we get older. Hence we fall prey to disease. Hence we die. We are part of time. God, creator, being, is outside of time. There is no time in heaven. When we die, we exit this world and are in a place that only knows God. And so God decides to enter in time as a man, and there's three times that the church traditionally used to call the Epiphany. Number one is today, where the Magi go and salute and bow and revere this God-made man. The second is when Jesus, out of a huge crowd, comes up to John the Baptist to be baptized. And all of a sudden, who is this person being baptized? John the Baptist knows who he is and says, "It is I that should be baptized by you." Thus recognizing in a formal public forum that this was the Son of God. This was God made man. And the third traditional epiphany that the church traditionally celebrated was at the wedding of Cana. When, again, in a public setting, there was a party, there was a wedding, and the wine ran out. And Mary asks Jesus and says, "The wine, there's no more wine." And Jesus says, "What would you have to do with me, woman? My time has not come. My time now is not yet to be known as the Son of God." But as Mary, as the boss that Mary is, as the mother that Mary says is, doesn't even address Jesus. Talks to the waiter and says, "Just tell him what he needs to do." Doesn't even say, "No, Jesus, we need to do this." Ignores Jesus and says, "He's going to tell you what he needs to do." Another epiphany. Another public display of the Son of God. This God that has made us, that from the beginning of time said that I will make man and woman in my image because I love. I am love. I created in love. We see nature. We see the insect. We see the sunrise. We see the blue sky. We see what love can create. And yet man and woman disobeys God. And that it was written from the beginning of time that God, in his wisdom, would become a creature, would be one of us, and would come to free us. And the epiphany is that the solution to sin and death, the solution to living in time due to original sin, is out of left field. It's not a king that comes in with a sword and an army to save us from death. It is a God that now lives to live God's will. Jesus Christ, God made flesh, now lives the will of the Father. And it is a very disturbing will at times. The crucifixion, the passion, the spitting of Jesus in the face, the crowning of thorns, the disorder of living in time reigns upon God himself in the form of Jesus Christ. And so when we see Jesus suffering, when we see him talking to us and telling us that the will of God is the way, and that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that sin has a disorder power over us now, but that we can break those bonds through seeking Christ, his church, and his laws. It is God speaking to us. It is God telling us this epiphany message. It is the epiphany message of the marriage between humanity and divinity. That now God becomes one of us and elevates us, makes us, raises our existence to be like him. It is our restoration. It is our remakeover of to be like him. It is what St. Augustine states, that God becomes man so that man may become God. If that doesn't blow our minds away, and if that is not an epiphany to you and I, that we will share the very nature of God, then I don't know what epiphany can hit us on the head. I don't know what truth can wake us up from our slumber to know that whatever happens in our lives often happens because of the will of God. And yes, we will be deified. Not be deified like the Romans did, not the way we're deified like the world will tell us to be deified, that we are the center of creation and that we are thus God, but we are deified. We will share this very nature. That is in the Catechism of the Church. The fathers, founding fathers of the Church, have written and spoken on this. That is a great truth. That is the freedom of the children of God, that now we can live and fight and know that whatever we have to do is ordained by His holy, adorable will, as God the creature, as God the being, becoming God the creature, and that inner dialogue of love ordains everything for the greater glory of God, as He ordains our lives for His greater glory. And so, with St. Cyprian, I will leave you with this. He states, "We shall one day be that which He is in glory, if by faithful imitation of His example, we become true Christians. We are called to become a Christ. We are called to reflect God the Father." And how do we do that? To be an epiphany to those in our world, in publics, when somebody perhaps cuts us off, in our world of employment, as a boss, as a father, as a mother, living in the neighbor, in our neighborhoods, to love our neighbor. It's easy to love God. It's easy to reflect on the beauty of the epiphany and our restoration, and that we're going to be with God. Because God doesn't usually talk back. God usually doesn't talk back. He can. He has. And God is easy to love because He doesn't interact the way our brothers do. Our brothers irritate us. Our brothers cut us off in traffic. Our brothers sometimes don't look at us the way we would like to be looked at. And we don't look at our brother the way we should look at them. How much good and warm can a smile to a brother, one that is hard to love, can warm the heart? So I close with, let us be an epiphany to our brothers and sisters as God is an epiphany to us. That idea that in the midst of so much disorder, so much negativity, so much news that we become so addicted to, that we forget the light of the world, which is God, our Creator, God, our brother, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Let us live with that spirit of the Epiphany, and then become free. Then we are true sons and daughters of freedom, knowing that we love without limit, and then we will live and be with God without limit.